Hi, I'm Simon Southerton, and welcome to Gospel Tangents.
We're concluding our conversation with Dr. Simon Southerton. As you've probably guessed by now, he doesn't believe in a historical Book of Mormon. What are his religious beliefs now? Does he believe in Noah's flood? We'll talk about that in our next conversation. Before we do that, I just want to mention, if you'd like a transcript of this, please subscribe to our website. For just $10 a month, you can get this and all future transcripts. Also, we've got a special sale for Dr. Simon Southerton as well as George Potter's books on our Amazon page, so check that out. Now back to our conversation. All right, so one other question that I wanted to ask you was, do you know who John Hamer is, by chance?
John Hamer?
Hamer.
Hamer.
Yeah, so John Hamer, I'll just give you a little background. So he went to BYU, he left the church, and he's now a pastor for the Community of Christ up in Canada.
Okay. Yeah.
And just in October, in fact, it could have, I don't know, but they've put him in the Quorum of 70 for the Community of Christ. So one of the interesting things, conversations that I've had, I actually have
Have 70 members?
Well, we don't have 70.
Do they have 70 members of the Quorum of the 70, or just a bunch of them that...
Yeah, so that's a good question. I don't think, I mean, we've got different quorums. We don't have 70 in every quorum, but eventually it's the same sort of structure. But at any rate, one of the interesting things about John is, like you, he does not believe that the Book of Mormon is a historical document. But he believes that it is scripture, and he believes that it has a lot of good spiritual truths. And they, in the Community of Christ, as I understand it, and if there are any people listening out there, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. But you can believe the Book of Mormon is historical, or you don't have to believe it's historical. Mm. And so John can give, I've heard him give some really interesting lectures and even blog posts on the Book of Mormon and how it can be a spiritual scripture, even if you don't believe it's historical. Which is a very different view than in the LDS Church. Mm. So I guess my question to you is, I mean, is that something that you could hold, that it could be a scripture, even if it's not historical?
No. I couldn't. I know some people can. I actually had a good friend, who was a member of the Community of Christ as a scientist in England when I worked there, and he would have been one of those that didn't believe it at all. That it was historically, he may have seen some value in the scriptures. I mean, as far as I could see, there's an awful lot of Mormon beliefs and doctrine that's not in the Book of Mormon. It doesn't strike me as any more scriptural or inspiring than what's written in the Bible. It's just, you know, Joseph Smith distilling 19th century ideas and some of his own ideas into the scripture, but there's no doubt it's a historical document. It was written to look like an historical document, and he believed it was a real history of the American Indians. So whether he interpreted the ideas that were coming into his head as revelation from God as he was looking at the seer stone in the hat or not, I don't know, but personally, this idea of having a true scripture but a fabricated narrative just doesn't wash with me.
Okay.
I can understand somebody who really wants to stay in the Mormon Church and they're going to lose their family or they're going to lose their job, and hi to all the BYU people, academics that don't believe the church is true and are there to keep their salary. Because I know there's quite a lot of them. I can understand people doing that. But it's not for me.
So we started talking a little bit about Noah and the flood. So where do you fit on that story now? I know you said that you used to believe
there was a very large deluge. Because the flood myth is not common, not just Christianity's. There are other belief systems throughout the Middle East and Mesopotamia that all contain this flood myth. There was I think it was the Black Sea. There was a major deluge when rising sea levels after the Ice Age broke the entrance into the Black Sea and through the Strait of Bosporus. And so they know, the scientists, there's plenty of scientific evidence for major deluges that flooded the area surrounding the Black Sea. So there would have been devastating consequences for all the farming communities around there at the time. And that might have been sort of, I don't know the date of that, but it might have been 8,000 years ago.
Okay.
So, so yeah, it was an event. It just didn't happen.
What didn't happen?
A global flood.
Oh, okay.
The only way it could possibly have happened would be if God had hidden all of the evidence of it deliberately and manipulatively hidden all of the evidence of a flood to trick everyone. So not really interested.
What are your opinions on the Bible? Do you still believe in the Bible?
No, I don't have any belief in the Bible. I'm largely agnostic or evil atheist. As Americans hate the word atheist, they're worse than child molesters. So it's quite respectable in Australia to be an atheist or not have a belief. Much less so here. I don't have a belief. I think the Jews were just a very creative, inventive race. They had lots of ideas running around their heads. They wrote down in books that they were the chosen race. Well, isn't that amazing? God chose us to be this chosen race. And they wrote that down in their scriptures. They just wrote down stuff. Because there's an awful lot of the Bible that's pretty bad, pretty horrible things going on there in terms of treatment of women, treatment of slaves, and butchery, and all sorts of pretty horrible things that are not practiced by Christians today. So I just go one step further and don't accept all the other stuff.
So it seems like you didn't originally want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Have you done that now?
Well, we considered going to the Anglican Church because the Anglican Church in Australia is a very comfortable place for agnostics and atheists to hang out. It's a pretty laid-back church, apart from Sydney. But in Canberra, they've got some very laid-back Anglicans. But, you know, we only sort of toyed with that idea for a few months, and then we stopped attending. So I got a 10% pay rise, and we got an extra day in the week. So it's pretty good. So yeah, we're very happy. So pretty normal Australians. Got lots of non-Mormon friends. I've always had lots of non-Mormon friends and acquaintances, and I've just got a few more of them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Australians are a fairly heathen bunch. Like every second American goes to church on Sunday, whereas in Australia it's closer to 10% than 15%, put it that way. They don't know what the numbers are, but it's a very low proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And people with no belief now are the dominant religious group on the census form. So yeah. But it's, you know, there's a whole fear, you know. People seem to think that people with no belief are just terrible and their lives are hollow and empty and whatnot. It's just rubbish. I've met so many of my friends, just the most delightful, decent, good human beings, and they have no belief. And they've never had any belief. And they never will have a belief. They don't see a need for it. And a lot of the happiest and most decent sort of countries on the planet, you know, many of the Scandinavian countries and European countries, are the least religious countries on the planet. So it doesn't, religion is not necessarily it's not what we need at the moment. I think we need less religion.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you for spending so much time here with me talking on Gospel Tangents. And do you have any last thoughts before we go?
I don't know. Stay happy. Keep out of trouble and don't You Americans just don't annoy the North Koreans too much.
I know.
And get a new president. I can recommend the New Zealander one. In fact, that's my last comment, is that Australians have a habit of claiming anything good that comes out of New Zealand. And New Zealand has just appointed an ex-Mormon prime minister.
I heard about that just
recently. Who left the church because of their stance on LGBT issues. And she's looks fantastic. It's a very exciting time for New Zealand and Australia, because we're going to claim, I'm claiming her as our own. So, yeah, I have a gay daughter, and means a lot to me, marriage equality, and I'm pretty sure we'll have marriage equality in Australia by Christmas.
Oh, legalized marriage there?
No, it's got caught in, it got caught in political no man's land for a number of years now, but the Australian population is very supportive. 70%+ of the population support gay marriage. And so they've eventually they resolved, okay, we'll have a postal survey, which is non-binding, but the parties have agreed if the yes vote wins the survey, gay marriage will come into Australia. They'll introduce it to Parliament and go straight through. So they already know the yes vote's like about 65%, and no 35%, something like that. So we should have it by December.
Interesting.
And those Kiwis, they did it a couple of years ago by a vote of Parliament.
Oh.
Mm. You shouldn't be voting, you shouldn't be surveying the population to find out their opinions about a human right. That's what your politicians are for. Politicians should lead and do what's right, and the right thing is, yeah, the right thing is just to let it happen, which they are, finally.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking here on Gospel Tangents.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Simon Southerton. I'd like to thank Simon for flying all the way here to America and meeting with me here in Gospel Tangents. It was a fun interview, Simon, and I hope we can do this again sometime. In our next interview, I'd like to introduce Dr. Matt Harris. He's done a lot of research on Black history in the LDS Church, especially since World War II. In our next conversation, we'll talk about how did LDS missionary interact in Brazil, where there were a lot of mixed-race marriages.
If they weren't sure if this couple had African ancestry, then they would come in and they would ask them questions about their genealogy, trying to determine just through discussion if they had African roots. And sometimes they would even ask to look at a photo album. And they were discreet about it. They weren't going to tell people, this is what we're looking for. But it shows you how difficult the burden was of determining this bloodline. And J. Reuben Clark recognized this as early as 1938 and expressed skepticism that the church could confer the priesthood on Brazilians without violating this policy.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at gospeltangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.